Amen. Amen. You know, there's, when you get to know your God, there really is nobody like Him. We know mean people, flat out jerks. There's a few other words for them. But God's not that. God's not a jerk. God is firm. God loves us. He wants the best for us. You know, parents, you know, especially those of you, your children are raised, you look back and, you know, we, you know, and I'm trying to get one thought gathered here. Got three thoughts hitting and one's trying to come out. When you're raising your children, you do what you think is best. Afterwards, you think, maybe I could have done something a little bit different. So then you become grandparents. I told Angela the other day, I said, I am thoroughly convinced now that grandchildren are God's reward for not killing your kids. I love them. Carter came, I went over to Joshua's house yesterday, and he'd left the door cracked open, and I saw the door open up, and there stood Carter. And he's just jumping up and down. He came running outside, realized how cold the ground was, and he ran back, but he thought I was following him. He ran in, and he saw I wasn't. He came back out because I'd hollered and said, come here, give me a hug. He came back and he gave me a kiss. That's really what your father is. So you young fathers, still raising your kids, let me tell you what one thing the Word says about fathers. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. See, you want to see what the problem is with the world right now? We have a generation, and it started with mine, and maybe even before. We just thought we had to be jerks all the time. Can't let them see a soft side. We had to be tough. I think God wants our children to see us being more like Him versus the jerks in the world. I believe it was Solomon who wrote, there's some strange things I've seen, but one of them is a man with a woman. I think that would go with a father with, for the love of his children as well. I know most of us in here, we would give the world for our kids. Jesus did. God did. He gave His whole world. There is nobody like our God. Don't ever let anybody tell you that God is mean, that God is cruel. He lets people make their own decisions. I do. You have the right to make your decision. You have the right to fall flat on your face. And I'll be there to help you up if you want to get up. If you want to lay there and whine and moan and groan, well, then I'm just going to let you lay there and moan and groan until you figure out that your own squalor is not worth laying in. Just remember that. I don't believe what's going on in our world is going to end anytime real soon. I believe it's an all-on assault from the enemy. If you don't believe that, well, you're entitled to believe what you're entitled to believe. I fought for that right. But I'm just here telling you what I see coming. Don't get bent out of shape and everybody say, well, Pastor, he's holding church. Just let me help y'all out here. The governor got smacked down by the courts. You will not touch First Amendment rights. If you read the articles, I have a friend who's sending me the articles from the reporter writing them, and at the bottom of them, it states everywhere, First Amendment rights cannot be violated in those reports. So just understand that. Well, you're inviolate. If you don't want to come, there's the camera. But I'm going to tell you what, you're missing something here. Oh, it's the corona. Oh my gosh, there's something greater to fear than corona. We've got people in here who lived through it. Yes, it stinks. It's awful. But, yeah, never mind. Never mind. I want you to know your God is a good God, and he didn't bring this thing upon us. This is bought on straight by the enemy. All right, let's bless the tithe and offering. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you, Lord, for your goodness and your kindness. Father, the goodness and kindness that I know is you. Father, the love of a father who would run and run to me in spite of the fact that I smell like hog waste. Father, I thank you that you've done that. And Father, I bring to you today my tithe, my offering, and I present the tithe and the offering of this body. I present it to you as holy, as separate. Father, we stand knowing that your word is true, and that heaven and earth will pass away before you allow one jot or tittle of your word, your promises, to go unfulfilled. So we present it to you today as holy. May it be sweet to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Do I have anything else to do? All right. You may be seated and super kids are dismissed. In spite of what the world wants you to be living in fear of right now, God's not through with this world right now. There's going to be such a revival of souls coming. People who are watching you. They're watching you as a believer. How are you reacting? How are you living your life? Well, the first thing I do is I obey my God first. And I obey the laws of the land as they apply to God. There should be no preacher on this planet preaching anything else, because that is what our word teaches us. We should not be adding things to God's word. We shouldn't be throwing in our personal interpretation. There is no personal interpretation. Although I'll be honest with you, I really would like to see somebody sit down and write a simplistic word. The Amplified Bible, while it's great, they put every word for the definition in the Amplified. And you can take Jesus wept, and it is now a 20-word scripture. Jesus cried. And so we've taken the word and we've added so much to it that Christian life is joyless sometimes. Can't do this, can't do this, can't do that. You can do this, but you can't do that. If we live according to the word of God, folks, we'll find out the things that become addictions, we don't need them in our lives. The things that we use as crutches, we don't need them. We can find our joy. And by the way, you're not going to find the joy in yourself. You're not going to find the joy in your job. Now, it is great if you enjoy your job. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Because if you can't enjoy it, boy, can a 10-hour day get long. 12, 14-hour days. They get really, really long. But if you find your joy in God's word, and joy in God, period, you will see what I'm talking about. You'll start knowing the Father that runs to you. The Father that knows how imperfect you are, and yet he loves you the same. So as we've been going through the book of Matthew in chapter 5, the things that we've seen in here from Jesus talking. He's sitting down. Folks, he's preaching. He's not flailing his arms like a madman. He's not walking back and forth. And if you've noticed, by the way, that I'm stopping right here, it's because I start running out of camera range. And I've been asked by people, oh, please stay in camera range. We can't see you over there. So I'm trying to stay right in here. But Jesus is sitting down and he's talking to people. And he's telling them things. I want to get back to what Jesus was teaching. Not something that somebody's going to use against me to manipulate me. If I live by this, I'll find my peace and I'll find my joy. Amen? So we're in Matthew chapter 5, verse 31. Furthermore, it has been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you, whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. I'm going to stop, pause, and state this. I know many of you in here, there's several people who've been divorced. What is. You go on. You don't divorce to go back to marry the person. Now you just redid it again. Now, while Jesus said sexual immorality on in there, the word immorality in general opens up a huge pathway of things. While it is generally translated as fornication, from which we get our word, it's porneo, which we get our word for pornography. And in the world of pornography, you have so much stuff happening. There's weird stuff all over. But abuse seems to be one of these things. God never, ever condoned abuse. Ever. When I do a wedding ceremony, there's a part in that I love that Brother Copeland had actually said. He said, the word, God took the woman from man's side. From his side, not his backside, not the corn on his toe. She's not a hangnail. He took you from the side. This is where all your vital organs, you can't live without anything in here very long. If you damage it, you're done. There's problems anytime anything gets messed up. Okay? She is not to be abused. Ladies, you're not to abuse. Well, I don't feel like it. There's a show that, I mean, there's funny parts on it, but honestly, the woman's attitude just sickens me. I got a headache. You were on your way upstairs just then, and all of a sudden you decide you're out of the mood. This is what's wrong with the world, folks. First off, if you've sat down, I'm sitting here looking, I'm trying not to look at any of the people that I have married straight in the eyes. Because I have to sit down. I mean, I had to do it with my own kids. And it's like, okay, so here's the mirror. We're going to talk about sex. Mind you, I'm twice as old as most of these. But I've told you, sex is pleasurable too. It is strength for the marriage relationship. When one person starts withholding to try to manipulate their way, they are no different than a witch. You're using witchcraft. You're controlling somebody with something. And when you start doing that, you are abusing sex as well. Okay? Now, I'm not going to go into a big, long spiel on this because I think, you know, around here, I mean, I've actually had people think that I talk too much about sex. Well, honestly, I think if the church would actually talk about sex, we would not have some of the problems we have in the church. There, I have heard word of churches that actually had their own little prostitution ring running in it. And that came from a preacher who was at that church. So, you know, we have some issues. We have churches. I talked to one man, and he said he was preaching, and was traveling, and he went to this one particular church, and he was still in the church, and they brought some women came through, and the preacher leaned over and said, "Which one do you want?" It's like, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, for your room tonight." This is in America. And we wonder why the church is in the state it's in. But today, I just don't like you. We have nothing in common. Well, you did at one point find it again. Well, we're just two different people. No, you're the exact same stinking person. You were a jerk back then, you're a jerk now. Figure it out. The only thing that changed was the situations. Sometimes you need to pull back on things. Whoop, getting pulled too far this way. I shared with you, I got rid of my motorcycle for several reasons. One of them was my hand. I have carpal tunnel in this hand. They have checked it and said, "Yep, you've got nerve damage." My hand would fall asleep on the bike. When you're riding a motorcycle at 60 miles an hour and you have to look to make sure you're still holding it, it might be time to quit riding. 5 minutes is all I had, and I couldn't feel my hand anymore. The other one was, I cannot tell you the number of women who threw themselves at me. They wanted a ride. Now, I've only three other women, other than my wife, have ever been on my motorcycle. Morgan, Michelle, and my mother-in-law. And that was it. And I wasn't trying to seduce them. So just chill, okay? But those two are like my daughters. So you guys, not only do you got Phil to look out, I may be older, but I will bite your ankles. No, they're good men. They're good men, or I wouldn't have married them to them. But it was one of those things I cut off. See, if somebody had had a dream and they told me the dream that I'd wrecked my motorcycle and my wife and my family were crying. He said, "Oh, I don't want you to wreck and kill yourself." I mean, listen, man, I rode my other motorcycle on a wheelie down a ditch on a country road. I said, "I've had my helmet come off. I'm not worried about that because I knew the truth of what the dream was. That motorcycle was going to be the death of my family." So we just read last week where if you find something in your life that's going to cause you to sin, you cut it out. So bye-bye went the motorcycle and hello Fred Sanford pickup truck. That's what she called it. It was my Sanford and Sons Ford. I don't regret it. I can watch, it's immortalized on YouTube forever. I can watch my motorcycle sit there and idle anytime I want. But you see, when we find out, we have to deal with it. So I'm not going to tell anybody, "Well, you're divorced, so you you can't do anything in the church." There have been people that have been told that, and there was people who was surprised that I had people in my church who had been divorced, and I was allowing them to do things. You know what? I'm not going to hold anybody's sin against them, so let's not go throwing stones, because I'm not one who likes getting hit with stones and not throwing them back. Anybody like getting hit with rocks? I mean, real rocks. Come on. Come on. I throw them at the lawnmower when they throw them back. No, and we shouldn't do that either, by the way. Again, you have heard it that it was said to those of old, "You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oath to the Lord." That's Leviticus. "But I say to you, do not swear at all." A couple weeks ago, I said something about how swearing on the Bible, we're actually dishonoring God. And I could see the look of confusion come across people. "They won't swear on the Bible." Do not swear at all. We're not talking cuss words. We're talking taking an oath. those of us who are veterans, we didn't have a Bible that we stood there and held our hand. No, we stood before the flag, raised our right hand, and we took an oath, which would cost, that the most would cost our life. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you can't make one hair white or black. I remember in the movie The Count of Monte Cristo, I can't remember the character's name, but he was the one who got defeated in a battle, and his life was spared by the count. And he said, I swear upon the graves of my ancestors and those who aren't feeling so good that I will be your man. I will always be by your side. I will have your back. We've heard, seen it in the movies, maybe even heard, I swear upon my mother's grave. Why are you swearing upon? It's a pointless thing. If I'm going to listen, honestly, can you lie, put your hand on this and lie? Yes, you can. You can do it. I know you can. Why are we swearing by the word, on the word of God? Can we make one bit of this truth or lie? It is the word of God. It in and of itself is truth. We cannot change its outcome. I just about shut my page. He said, but let your yes be yes and your no, no. For whatever is more than this is from the evil one. Wanting more from you is what they're wanting. See, here, let me help some of y'all out. I got in a discussion the other day. One, I'm not going to take the COVID vaccine. I want my governor to take it first. You try it out. I'm done being a government guinea pig. Anybody that's been a vet knows what I'm talking about. You don't get a choice. You get shots. 10 at a time in each arm. Yeah, if you don't like needles, you don't want to join the military. And you give blood like you've never gave before. Who's giving blood? Nobody's hands goes up. Everybody gives blood. I don't care what you're afraid of. But everybody is worried right now that if you take the vaccine and they slip this microscopic little microchip into you, that you're now marked by the beast. Let me help you out. That is not the mark of the beast. It is a control thing. I do not like not being able to turn off the GPS in my phone. I'm a private person. I do realize that when I'm hunting, it could be a good thing to have the GPS on in my phone, especially with my luck. Trees don't like me for some reason. But if I take the vaccine and they slip that in there, is God going to hold that against me? Because whoever takes this mark cannot. You're marked. Let me help you out. When you take that mark, it is an oath you're taking. Does that help you? You will know what you're doing. It is surrendering your will to a government, is what the mark of the beast is. It's not a microchip. It is an actual mark that will be marked on you so that you will be known. I've often thought, well, will they be that bold and brazen? Oh, for crying out loud, did anybody ever think what's happened in the last year would ever happen? That criminals would just be set free? That the things that are happening, that if you know any of the Clintons, you suddenly die by suicide? I'm just pointing out things that are wrong. I believe there will be enough people who will be stupid enough to do that. Because they worry more about their belly. Let me remind you of the God you serve. He's a God that every morning when the Israelites woke up, there was manna on the ground. Every morning. And they'd go out and they'd fill their bowl for the day. They didn't take any more. Just what they would eat for the day. If you took any more, it turned to worms. I think you'll probably fast the next day after you see what your meal turned to. And then when that got tiring, God sent quail to fly in at knee level. Now, I've never hunted quail. I don't know. Have you ever hunted quail? I think they're kind of like pheasants. They kind of shoot up like rockets. They don't fly knee high so that you can knock them down with a stick. He'd send quail in every day. They'd knock them down. He sent them water. He took care of them. Their shoes didn't wear out. Are you following me? By the way, this is why they were in disobedience. So don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to cut. Jesus was trying to tell us, don't worry about these things. Now, he did not mention toilet paper, though. No. I'm not telling you to go out and stock up, please. I heard the other day there was an Amishman in the Kroger's here the other day, had his cart full of toilet paper. Well, we thought, well, that might actually just been for his family for the month. You don't know, Amish families are kind of big. Either that or they were going TP in, who knows. Kind of hard to escape on that one. But you don't need to worry about it. The devil is going to try to get a commitment. The Antichrist wants a commitment. They want an oath. Well, you swear on the Bible. Why would I swear on God's word? I can't change God's word. My yes should be significant. You have heard it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other one to him also. Not gonna lie. I'm not a real fan of that particular passage. And anybody that tells you they are, well, I think they might be lying. None of us likes to get slapped. But Jesus was trying to point out something. If he slaps you, he slaps you. So what? You want to really get somebody? I mean, I love, sometimes I love what, I watch these boxing videos of these guys. They're just getting pommeled. And the guy's got his arms down. He said, come on. And they put the captions down. That all you got? That all you got? Pow. Come on, come on. You hit me hard. Now, if you take too many of them, you are going to get knocked out because that is what always happens. But it aggravates the person swinging. And by the way, he was talking about a slap. Not somebody trying to kill you. Okay? Somebody just trying to offend you. And so he's telling us not to resist. To resist would mean to fight them. Why? Because they hurt your pride. Your pride. Listen, I'll be honest with you. People can talk about me all they want. They do anyhow. But when you start talking about my brothers and sisters, we may have a different issue. Because it's a different reason why I would stand toe-to-toe with somebody. You're not going to walk into my house and do what you want to my wife. I can promise you that. It will not end well. You're not going to walk in this church and start killing people. It's not going to end well for you. But if you want to just come up and offend me, make me mad, knock yourself out. The other day, was it two weeks ago now, Marine Corps birthday. I don't know if some of you saw my post and you kind of questioned, what on earth? And I know I said it on Marine Corps thing, but there's this whole new thing on around that Marines are not smart enough to use crayons, that we eat them. So that is the great thing. So the other day on Marine Corps birthday, I took a picture. Somebody gave Angela this awesome set. I mean, it's called the Ultimate. I mean, it is a box of crayons this big. I mean, it is awesome. It beats the pants out of the 96, the 164. I mean, I don't know how many crayons are in this thing, but it was the Ultimate. And so I took a picture of it, and I said, "Happy birthday, Marines." And a bunch of them started liking it. And then I had one gal whose son-in-law is a Marine, and she's like, "You're the third person I've seen do this. What does it mean?" And I told her. I said, it was actually Amy Clark. She said, "Why are they saying this?" And I said, "Because the other branches don't think we're smart enough to know how to use crayons, but that we eat them." See, that's actually a slam. But what we have, and the veterans like me who have no idea where it originated from, we adopted it. We've embraced it. Because we've often said, you know, I think we had one person, they came back and said, "Yeah, I knew he was in the Air Force." He said, "I heard this acronym for Marines." It said, "Muscles are required, intelligence not expected." It's okay, we're not hired for our intelligence. We're hired to kill. We don't need brains to do that. And if we had brains, we would have joined another branch. I'm not going to lie. You do not join the Marines for the benefits. When you leave, you know what you have. You leave with one thing: pride. That's it. Usually your body's broken and, you know, you got problems. And Marines are just some of the most warped people on the planet when they get out. I think they got to be partially warped to go in. But it's a slam, and so we've embraced that. The term jarhead was a slam. We have embraced that. When we get slapped, when people call us holy rollers, when they call us Christians, and they say it with a sneer, yes, I'm a Christian. And I have no shame in that. I'm not going to say I'm proud of that. I have no shame in being a Christian. We should not try to fight people. You're not going to win them in the argument. Jesus is telling us something for a reason. I want to keep moving on. "And if anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too." So if your friend comes over and says, "Yo, hey, Caleb, I got to take a walk. Will you walk with me?" Now, knowing he's going by Caleb's house, this is obviously a time when they walked a lot more. "Will you walk with me 1 mile so I have somebody to talk to? I've got a long journey." Knowing Caleb's got to walk the mile back, Jesus says, go with him too. "Give to him who asks you from him, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away." There are people that will not help anybody. That's what he's referring to here. I've seen these, I've been in shops, and people don't understand when you buy tools. You know, you go in, you see a guy that's got this big old Snap-on toolbox. The toolbox costs what a truck costs. The toolbox, not with tools, just the box. Then you fill it full of tools. And then they've got this glorious sticker up there on the thing that says, "These are my tools. Do not ask to borrow." Because I have this little ratchet. I gave it to Joshua a couple years ago. Tiny little ratchet, quarter inch ratchet, this long. How much do you think that ratchet cost? Now, this I was going to have it replaced 20 years ago. How much do you think 20 years ago it was going to cost to replace it? It was $40 20 years ago. They're ridiculous. So when you spend that much money to buy good tools, you don't want your tools walking out. I'm one. You know, if you're somebody that's going to tear up my tools, you're not getting my tools. "Oh, but Jesus said, don't turn them away." You do know that there's also another part of this in the Old Testament that says if you borrow something, you tear it up, you got to replace it. "But I borrowed it." Exactly. You can offer, and if they don't want to, then that's fine. But you have heard that it was said, you shall love the Lord your love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Right? We need to hate the Arabs. We need to hate the Mexicans. The Chinese. They're all evil. The Russians. You know, when I joined the Marines, one of the favorite sayings was, kill a commie for mommy. Our targets out front, their name was Ivan. It has since changed. I've always often told you that you have to understand, in order to kill somebody, you have to go to another place in your mind to willingly be able to take their life. But we're talking about just how you're abusing your neighbor. I don't like that family, my family and their family. They've been at odds for years. Y'all do realize the Hatfields and McCoys made up a long time ago. And anybody keeps trying to refuel this stupid feud over a pig needs to grow up. Well, your granddaddy did that to my granddaddy. Oh my gosh, what did your granddaddy do to make my granddaddy do that? Let's just stop the fighting. Let's quit hating the people. Just because you're in Mount Gilead doesn't mean you got to hate the people from Cardington. Isn't that the big rival? And if you're Highland, you got to quit hating everybody. Yeah, we got a couple Highlands in here. One teacher. See, it honestly is. There were names. We had names for everybody. Highland Snots. Cardington Ding Dong. Mount Gilead Idiots. North Morons. Telling you. But you know where some of my best friends came from? The other schools. Some of the people I still talk to came from other schools. I actually have more friends from her school and her class than my own. Crazy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you. By the way, calling them idiots and stuff, that's kind of the cursing stuff. Do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. So in other words, just people spitefully, it means they know they're doing it. Pray for them. By the way, he didn't say you got to be their best friend. He said pray for them, bless them. There are people that I've had in my life, I know they are not good news for me. I stay over here, but I still treat them with a certain amount of respect. We may not be getting together to play cards every night, but you know what? I'm not going to treat you like a second-class citizen. And persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? How many of you have seen the series The Chosen? Anybody? There's a few of you. I really want to see. Anybody else seen it? Okay, just a few. Find it. I forget how you got it. Google it. Find it. It is honestly one of the best series I've seen. It's on the internet. And you can order the DVDs now. They are doing so good. They're developing the characters of the disciples. But they have a character for they have a guy playing Jesus, and he is preaching this stuff straight from the Word. And he is exactly what I would picture. What I've often pictured. Most of the time we see some guy walks through town and, you know, there's this aura that goes with him and people just... No, it's really, really good. But Matthew the tax collector, they show how that being a tax collector, his own parents shun him. They won't speak to him because of his job. He's not a stripper. But yet they wouldn't talk to him. They disowned him. Because he was a tax collector. The only people, the Romans didn't care for him. They didn't care for Jews, period. The only people he had as friends were other tax collectors. They were all shunned. It was just them. Nobody liked him. Let me show you how I can prove it. How many of you have a friend who's an IRS agent? One. But you might know somebody who works for the IRS. They're always hiring. I say that because how well would family get-togethers go, Detra's, if that we allowed this kind of garbage to stay in place because you teach at Mount Gilead and your sister teaches at Highland? What would happen if we allowed that rivalry? Your family would split. This is what the kind of stuff Jesus is talking about. Isn't it funny that he's really not talking about, yo, y'all just got to focus on your heavenly Father? He's trying to get us to get our relationships with each other lined up right so that we can see the Father. He gave us each other. I've heard it said that you can't have a relationship this way until you get your relationship squared this way. You have got to be able to love one another because Jesus said it. And you can't hate somebody just because they voted different than you. Just because they go to a different school. Or they root for a different team. I know a lot of you. I pick on all of you. I pick on the Steelers. Pick on the Browns. The Bengals. But in the end, folks, we cannot let that stuff be a deciding factor in how we treat each other. And that's why Paul said you got to be careful with your jesting. You can't jest with everybody. Not everybody can joke with Phil the way that he and I joke. There are people that think they know him and they think they can do that, but they don't have the relationship Phil and I have. I met Phil in 1987. That's been a few years. We played basketball together. We played football together at the church. So we've had a lot of time. So you have got to make sure that you're loving everybody. Well, you know, I just don't like them people from River Valley. I say that because we got a few. We can't do that. Listen. There's good people and bad people at every place. Well, I don't shop at that store. Well, you knock yourself out. I don't shop at that store to get a discount. I shop at that store because they have some better stuff. And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do this. I ain't going to greet you. You're a Detra. I'll greet the Scots. Why would we do that? I've actually had people walk up. They greet one person, but they know me, and I know them, but they don't even acknowledge I'm standing there. I've had it happen. I didn't lose any sleep over them. Not now, anyhow. There was a time in life I cared. Honestly, I don't care anymore. I just want to make sure I didn't do something. And that's what the Bible was talking about last week when Jesus was talking about. When he said, if you've done something against, and your brother has an ought against you, leave your gift and go square it away. Therefore, you shall be perfect. The word again means matured. Just as your Father in heaven is perfect. And for God, it means he is perfect. So if you want to be perfect in God's eyesight, in his eyes, you have got to love each other. No matter how they rub you. Not everybody is going to be friends with everybody. How boring would life be if we all had the same friends? The same five people. I mean, seriously. We watch these shows, that's all they hang out with is each other. All the time. Big Bang Theory. Boom, they hang out with each other all the time. Somebody else starts coming into the thing, what happens? People start feeling jilted. Friends. Every show revolves around the same people. And the truth of the matter is, Caleb, just would you say you probably have 100 people that you know and probably less than that that you actually hang out with, right? It's easy. Everybody in here knows at least 100 people. You do, trust me. Especially if you sit down and start counting it up. But you probably only hang out with maybe 10. At the max. But it's not the same 10. Because when you hang out here, well, you've got other people you're hanging. You're coming to church. You got all these people. You're not going to be buds with everybody. And eventually, somewhere along the line, your lines are going to cross, and it's going to be somebody you don't like that's best friends with Caleb. Are you going to judge Caleb because you don't like this person? That's stupid. I know some of you are trying to teach your kids not to say that word. I'm trying to teach your kids how to use it properly. We had a talk with Justin yesterday about speakers, presidents. You know, he's like, why are they making fun of this president? Was he stupid? I said, no, he just wasn't eloquent as a speaker. So people thought he was stupid. I said, President Trump is the same way. He's not an eloquent speaker. He speaks what he wants to say, and that's that. It may sound a little off kilter because he's not a polished person. I said, take me for instance. I said, I don't consider myself polished. I said, I'm not an eloquent speaker in some things. So if it sounds like I'm really flowing, know that that's God. It's not me. I'm really not that smart. But we have to remember, we cannot dislike somebody just because we didn't like the way they spoke. How would you like to get thrown up in front of 300 million people? All you're talking to is a camera, but knowing that there's possibly 300 million people watching you. That was part of the reason I didn't want a camera. I didn't want to think about all the people that might be or might not be watching. And God has allowed the growth to come so that I can get used to people. Get up in front of my Marines, I could get up and do that all day long. I knew those 80 people. I could give them orders, I could start marching them because there was protocol, there was things, boom. They knew what to do, I knew what to do, I knew how to say it. You get up in front of 80 different people who have the right to just get up and walk out, which we've seen that happen. Usually they're more offended at Angela leading praise and worship than they are at me. I know they're offended at me when they hit the door running when I'm standing back there. Oh, okay. Well, that didn't work out good. And no, I don't think you're running from me. If you just go around, that's I'm not butthurt. We need to be perfect. We need to be mature. Watch who's saying what. Listen, you could be 60 years old. I would consider somebody at 60 with some experience, right? I consider somebody at 50 should have some experience. And even at 40. Somebody at 20, I'm going to give them a little bit more grace because I remember being 20. My brain was not fully developed until 25, I think is what the, especially men. I don't know what that's from, but it has something to do. But from 20 to 25, I give you grace because you're stupid. You just don't know any better. You don't.
I remember back in my days on active duty, and I was 22 years old, and I was a non-commissioned officer. I mean, come on. I had troops I was commanding, and I still did. My brain wasn't done growing. I look back at some of the stupid things I said and did. Yeah, that was real mature. Then I think, well, boy, Master Guns, he was the bomb, man. He knew what he was talking about. He had this many years in the Marine Corps, and I did the math the other day, and I'm older than he was. If he joined at 18, he was only 48 with 30 years in. But he looked like he was 80. That's what his experience brought him. We've got to realize experience does bring. When I was reading in Leviticus there, when Jesus started talking about taking oaths, it goes on down through. If you start reading some of the Leviticus, you'll see that God was actually trying to get people to develop their character. He was as much concerned about their character as he was about whether their offering was brought in just right, whether you had the hymns just right. One of the things was if a gray-haired man walked in, you were to stand. Experience, respect. We don't do that anymore. We don't have respect for people who have wisdom. And Paul said, told Timothy, he said, and do not correct an older man. Now, I do have an exception with Paul on that. Because sometimes we all need a little realigning. As an instructor for the Young Marines youth group, youth organization, I was teaching these guys how to march like Marines. It was fun to a degree. When you're dealing with 8 to 18-year-olds trying to teach them how to march like Marines, it can be a little crazy. And I was teaching them the first thing, and every branch is the same way. Pay attention next time to how you step off. Almost always will start with my left foot, because you step off marching with your left foot. And so I'm teaching these kids to start with their left foot. And some of them, they're having struggles. They're doing it. But Gunny Brown, he was a World War II vet. He'd retired from the Marine Corps not long after my daddy was born. But he was really old. And he had forgotten things. And I came in one day, and he's up there teaching them to start with the right foot. Now, anybody who's ever been in marching band knows exactly what that does to you. It throws you out of sync. Because in marching band, there's a beat. Boom, boom. One foot should always be hitting on that bass. The beats mean everything. That's why the drum corps are so big in these bands. And he was teaching them to go on the wrong foot. And I went nuts on him. I said, what happened? And they said, well, Gunny said to start on this foot. I said, okay, hang on. So I, fortunately, was one of the only Marines involved in that organization besides him. There was three of us. And I was the one teaching drill. I had to take Gunny aside, and I said, Gunny, I said, I don't know how your memory is on this, but you're teaching them wrong. And you know what? He was a gracious man. He was a good man. He said, oh, I'm sorry. I will step back. I will not interfere in your training anymore. See, folks, that was a gracious man. If he had been an arrogant pinhead, he had argued with me. And I actually have a copy of NAVMAC 2954. To anybody in here, that means absolutely nothing. But to Marine, that is our drill Bible. That is the official rules for marching. And I showed him, right there it is. He said, I'm sorry. I won't bother you, mess with them again. And he didn't. He was so proud of them when they marched across that stage and they graduated. That's what we need more of. We don't need people arguing. That'd be like me trying to argue with, and we do, we get into it, you know. All you fathers, you've probably locked horns somewhere along the line with your son, possibly your daughter. Usually it's the boys. I got three of them, so I'm, but over the years, they'd lock horns with me on things. And then I'd get proved right. Or I'd get proved wrong. And when I got proved wrong, I had to be gracious enough to say, well, I guess I learned something. And when I was proved right, I had to do the dance of joy. No. Because it didn't happen very often. No. But you see, that's what we've got to learn to do. We've got to be able to graciously take correction and learn something. When it comes to technology, there's things I do not know, and honestly, I don't care to know. We've got to do that. I don't care if I know how to open spiritual portals so I can just step through and step into another country. I really don't care. If God wants me there, He can put me there. I don't care about that. I'm not going to figure out how to tell to make a demon move my bed back to where it was at. I think I'll just move my bed back. Thank you. I don't need your presence. I don't care about that stuff. I'd rather know that that demon left. I'd rather know that that person's healed. I'd rather know that that person knows Jesus. The simple stuff of the word. Because in all honesty, the simple stuff is what will hold. You're not going anywhere. It's raining. You know it. You'll stand there and wait for the rain to die down. No. That's where I'm ending today. I honestly, I am hoping that as you're seeing this, you're taking it to heart. That you're praying for these people who you know are using you, who are intentionally hurting you. Pray for them. Yes, it hurts. But you know what happens when you pray for them? God can heal you because you've forgiven them. But you'll never forgive them if you keep holding on to the pain. It doesn't mean that when somebody's doing something wrong to somebody else that you don't feel a little bit, holy indignation. No, it's not right. But there's times we can't do anything about it and we can just pray. You don't like the way things are going in our state and in our country? Pray. You start praying like you've never prayed before. There are things happening in schools right now. Teachers, I feel for you guys. It's got to be nuts. Especially if you're in a hybrid situation, right? And then if you're online, I get it. Things have been multiplied. And we bless you. We pray for you. But it's not easy on the kid either. I'm not going to lie. If I was in this situation and still in school, see, I liked to hunt back then. I would probably be failing because I'd be in the woods. I'm the guy who put deer pee on my clothes and went to the woods and dabbed it around my neck and stuff so they couldn't smell me. They didn't have this scent-free stuff back then. Our water heater went out that night. If you have a hunter, open up the bottle and take a whiff of the deer pee. I got home, Mom's like, well, the water heater went out. I'm like, what? Walk through the house, she's like, what? What's that smell? I said, that'd be myself. And I said, I'm not going to school smelling like this. She said, no, you're not. I'm not going to have any kid of mine go to school and smell like that. So I got up the next morning and went hunting again. I was like, well, I still stink, so might as well go sit in a tree. But pray for your students if they're struggling. If you got some that are struggling, pray for them. Because everybody's having a hard time. Just remember, you can pray for the leaders, pray for our governor, pray for your judges, pray for your president. But we have got to remember, we got to pray for them and bless them. I don't like what Pelosi and Schumer and all these guys are doing, but I've got to pray for them. Because if they die and they go to hell, eternity is a long, long time. And I don't hate them. I don't dislike them enough to wish hell on anybody. Hell's not waiting down there so you're in a cauldron and the devil keeps poking you with his pitchfork. The devil's going to be in torment. That's how bad it's going to be. Their torment will be knowing that they rejected Jesus Christ. Pray for them. All right, let's stand. So, this week we have Thanksgiving coming up. I know some of your plans have been changed. Keep marching. Do what you're going to do. But remember what the week is supposed to recognize. Giving thanks to God. Oh, but Jesus, it is so bad. Let me tell you right now. As bad as it is right now in our country, it's still better than the majority of the countries around the world. Okay? There are still countries. They're observing the COVID things, but yet a husband can still beat his wife with a stick. She's still property. There are still countries, men, where if you don't make the right amount of money, you're a slave. You have to do what they said just because you don't have the right class. There's so much, that's what the devil hates about this country. We came in, we took the Irish, we took the British, we took the German, we took the French, we took the Swiss, we took the Chinese, we took the Africans, we took the Mexicans, we took Russians. Now, evil men took advantage. But godly people began to stand up and said, this is not right. And that's where we have to be today. That's where we have to be today. We have to start treating everybody the same. I don't care what color their skin is. Man, listen, I have some friends in North Carolina. They are dear, sweet people. They just happen to be black. So what? We live in a predominantly white county. And I'm not going to hold that against us. Is there racism? Absolutely. But we have the opportunity to put it down. I'd love to see listen, we've talked about it before. I've had you raise your hands. We got people all over the spectrum here on race. You're not purebreds. So don't be standing out in your pasture field prancing. You're all mutts. And mutts are the best. Just remember that. He died for all of us. Not just Caucasians. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, for the many things you've done in our lives. Father, we thank you, first, that you sent Jesus, that he became the sacrifice so that we could get to know you. Father, I pray that you help us all grow closer to you, to see you in your word, to see you in people, to see you in nature, to see you in everything. Now, Father, I thank you that your word is true and that there is no falsehood in you. Father, our desire is to be mature, to be perfect like you. Help us in this, Father. Help us to forgive. Help us to pray. Help us to bless. And now, Father, I thank you for these people. Father, I bless them today. Father, may they go forth with joy in their hearts. May they go forth with victory in their hands. Father, recall in their minds what you're doing, where you're leading them, Father, and that you will never leave them. In Jesus' name, amen.